Sometimes that it hits hard, and I just sit there cringing. It'll go away, you know. I just don't want it to show up somewhere else. The passage today is concerned with God's will and obeying and fulfilling God's will. And you hear that, and I know it does. A lot of times you hear that kind of title, you know, obeying, fulfilling God's will, and it's like, that's not maybe real exciting. But listen, how many have searched and searched for God's will? How many times have you prayed and said, God, what is your will for my life? What do you want me to do? What am I here for? Well, I can't speak to every one of you individually this morning. I know God can. But I will give you some things from Scripture that is God's will. And so you don't have to be wondering. God has spelled out a whole lot of what He wants us, what His will for our lives is. And really, as I work through this, looking at all the different passages concerning God's will and how He's equipped us, and I'll read that first one here in a moment, then we'll move on from there. But it's like God spelled out what He wants us to be doing. You know, we get all caught up in what job am I supposed to be working? And where am I supposed to live? And should I buy this car or that truck? And, you know, whatever. You know, and God's will is involved. That's great. Ask Him what His will is and all of that, always. Tell Him what you want, what you're thinking, what is your will. But that's not what we're supposed to be consumed with. What we need to be caught up in and consumed with is, what is your true will for every one of us? What are we put here to do? So let's take it from there, and I think you'll enjoy this. I know you will. When you say, hey, this gives some peace as to what God's will is for our lives. And I want to begin with Hebrews chapter 13. And let me just, it's verses 20 through 21. It says, now may the God of peace. I don't know if you've paid real attention. I haven't. I read through this and then it hit me in studying for this passage. I was thinking, what do you want me to bring this week? And now that starts on Sunday. As soon as I get home, I start asking God, what's next? And then it began to just kind of grow me, and on Monday, Tuesday, and I was like, you haven't talked about my will and following my will in quite a while. You haven't been direct, specific. I just sense it. You know, you just sense it in your heart. It's like, so let's look at this. It says, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. And there it is. It just bites right into you. He says, equip you. Equip you with everything good for doing what? His will. So there it is. He said, may He equip you. So what is He saying here? He said, may God equip you. God equips you to do His will. In other words, He gives you what you need. People, we've all lost count. With people who maybe in just conversations, you're eating with someone or whatever, and what I do, it's a common occurrence. Someone saying, I just wish I knew what God's will is for my life. I just wish I knew the will of God. And it's like, well, you know, so what are you doing? Well, I got to find God's will. Everybody heard that? You need to go find God's will. And here He says, why worry about finding it? I've already equipped you to do it. You don't have to find something that you're equipped to do already. So what He's saying is, I've gifted you. I've given you my Holy Spirit. I give you understanding of my word. I equip you spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally to do my will. And so He says, may He equip you with everything good. So there it is. So God does the equipping. We don't have to go find it and then somehow bear up to it or go to some training academy or school to learn to do God's will. He says, I equip you to do it. It says, may He do that and equip you with everything good for doing His will. And work in us, may He work. And it says may, it's not asking permission. You know, in the Greek and Hebrew, you have to be careful knowing how they spoke in those days. In the Hebrew, that you could say a word and it might mean five different things. And that's always been the problem in translation is which one? In the Greek, there's two or three different meanings. are different shades and nuances and all that kind of stuff. So when he says may, he's saying God is equipping you. God is equipping you. May he equip you. God is equipping you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us. Work in, get this. See what he's saying? Not may you work to find his will, but may he work in you. Work through us. Maybe work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Listen, friends, there it is. He equips you, and then it says he works in you. You know what the problem is? So many times we don't let him work. We're too busy caught up in ourselves. We're saying, God, we're too busy telling God, show us your will. And what is this? What's the problem? Give me this, give me that. And he's saying, look, I've equipped you. And I'm giving you every good thing to do it. And I'll work in and through you if you just give me a chance and don't be so hung up on stuff. That's why earlier when we were just having our little share time before we start the service, you can't afford to get too caught up. I'm not saying don't be involved. Don't be caught up in all the political thing and the stuff that's going on around you. I think everybody ought to put some stuff away and be prepared for a time of possible emergency. You should do that. That's my thing. But don't be obsessed with it. What we need to be obsessed with is Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're not, you won't ever, he won't be able to work out. He's not going to force himself on us. See, the more obsessed I am with Christ instead of the things in this world, the stuff I can't change anyway, you know, the more I'm obsessed with that, the more I'm resisting God and blocking him out. God is here to work out his perfect will in your life. You don't have to go find it. It's already designated for you. Is everybody with me? Before you were born, he knew what he wanted to do with you. The problem is not finding it, it's letting him fulfill it through you. And me too. I struggle with the same thing. I get caught up in stuff, and I'll even get caught up in, what's your will for the next message? What do you want? No, then it's like, if you'll be quiet, Tony, I'll tell you.
Amen.
If you'll just sit still, be still and know that I'm God, I'm perfectly capable of telling you what I want next. And sometimes we're just so busy going, no, 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 no. You know, I said to a person here, and I shouldn't have, I got frustrated with someone. I think we were eating lunch with some group of people. And she kept interrupting me. And finally, you know, I know I'm a pastor, but sometimes I do wear thin once now and then. And then, I don't know, it just came out of my mouth. And I said, did the middle of my sentence interrupt the beginning of yours? I think you were there, Joni, when I popped off and said that. And then I realized, oh, that's real cute. Yeah, that. But that's the way I felt, you know. And then I thought, yeah, that's what God's saying to you, son. That the middle of my message to you interrupt the beginning of yours to me. Now be quiet and listen to me. Anyway, so don't go around using that. I know that one there just kind of hits. And it's like, you know what I got out of the message today? I'm going to say to somebody that the middle of my sentence interrupt the beginning of yours. Excuse me. So anyway, that's what God does. You know, he's so often, I'm sure the Lord is saying, you know, if you just stop, be still and know that I'm God, I can do a whole lot with you. I can tell you a lot of things. So as we look into God's will, realize right off the bat, right here, God's equipped you and he's working his will in and through you if you'll just give him a chance. He will lead you. He will direct you. Now listen to this. Sometimes God will let things happen to you because you're being so stubborn and resistant. He can't steer you where he wants you to go, and he will allow. God's not going to inflict you. He's not that kind of God. But if he ever removes his hand of protection for a moment, things will happen to you. Everybody agree with that? We know what that's like. He allows it not because he's mad and wants to punish you, but because it's the only way that you're going to get steered in the direction that he wants for your life. And how many of us, screaming and bawling and crying out to God and so upset with him because this is happening. And then later we look back and say, I'm sure glad that happened. That's the only way I would have chosen here, done that, moved over there, whatever it is. And God's saying, why'd you make it so hard? If you'd just listened to me, you wouldn't have to go through this pain and suffering. But that's not our human nature, is it? And sometimes he just has to let things happen. But listen to me, stuff's happening. If it's happening to you right now, please go out from here today understanding God's not mad at you. He has no intention of hurting you. But God is here to fulfill his purpose through your life. You say, okay, so exactly what are you saying? He's given you spiritual gifts. He's given you natural gifts. Some of you are just great, with you're good IT people. Are you fix things? Are you break things? We're all gifted to do natural things to make a living, but then there's spiritual gifting. And if some of you have a gift of wisdom, gift of discernment, gift of serving, gift of mercy, and all of that is to use in ministering to God's people, to each other. Some have the gift of ministration, all that kind of stuff. There's a bunch of spiritual gifts, and you have a means to make a living. We get so caught up in our living, we forget that that's not what we're here for. That's a means to support the ministry God wants us to be doing. So whatever you're doing for income may not necessarily be what God, that may not be his calling for your ministry. That's how you make the money to do then what he wants you to do. And he's working that out. He'll show you. Sometimes you need to just ask someone that observes you on a regular basis, that knows you real well, and ask them, what do you see me gifted at? They might say, you're a good listener. You meet the needs of people. That means you're a server. That's how Scripture identifies it. You don't like disorganization, you don't like chaos. So you kind of just don't, in your gentle, kind way, you start organizing things. You got a gift of administration. Ask people who observe you. By their fruits, you'll know them. Just sit with someone who'll tell you the truth and say, what is it that you see me that does good for other people? Some may say, you're a good talker. you just make people feel good. You know what that is? What that gift is called in the Bible? Exhortation. You exhort. You motivate. You can talk people into listening to God and doing his will. And on it goes. Did you get the idea? And he's working that out. And this passage tells you, he's equipped you, he's working in and through you. Let me give you the first thing that you need to know. I'm going to lay this out right here. The primary calling of God, and God's will. We're going to look at God's will. We're going to get to the part here in a moment where what does it look like? What are some things we know definitely from Scripture that God wants us doing? But for everyone here, before we move into this first point, this is all just getting us introduced into God's will. And that there's a lot more than just saying, pray for God's will. Listen to me. What did Jesus say is the will of God for every person that becomes a believer? And it's found in Matthew chapter 28. Just jot it down. You won't find it in the notes. It won't be in the bullet points up here, because I was just thinking about it on the way down here. And it's like, Tony, you didn't get it all. You didn't list that. Because that's my universal calling. That is my will for every Christian on the face of the earth. And what did it say? Depending on what translation that you look at, but it basically says this, in Jesus' last, that great commission, he said, this I give you, what it should be called is the great will of God. But we call it the great commission. But he said, this is God's will for you, every one of you, every disciple. I want you to go into the world. I want you to go out here. And I want you to do what? I want you to make disciples. You can't save people, but you can lead them to the one who can save them. And he said, what he was saying is, I want you to live the kind of lifestyle and speak to people in such a way that they become hungry for the word. They become hungry for Jesus Christ and allow me to come into their hearts and save them. That's what he's talking about in making disciples. And then he said, I want you to teach them everything I've given you. That's our responsibility, not just the pastors, everybody's. We're all teachers. We're all pastors, really. Every one of you has a little flock, whether you know it or not, that you pastor. You say, ooh, I haven't been pastoring people. Well, then get with it. Everybody here is given that responsibility. We're all shepherds, under shepherds, under the great shepherd. And so he said, make disciples. And he said, what else? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he said, listen to me. I promise you, you know, some of your translators say, and lo, I'm with you. It's what he's saying is, and I promise you, I give you my word. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, end of the age. And he said, do this. This is my great will. Above all things, you must continually be out there attempting, at least doing what I tell you to do, to make disciples. And everybody can do that. Everybody can. You just share your story. I've said it over and over and over. People say, well, how do I even do that? You know what? Sitting down with people and saying, you know, here's some things I've been through in my life. Not all of them were pleasant. Matter of fact, some of them were just downright awful. My fault, their fault, nobody's fault. It happened. And through that, it broke me. Through that, in my wounded heart, in my wounded spirit, I began to search. I began to reach out. And a friend of mine or whoever it is, that's telling your story. And this is how you do it. And through whatever you tell, in the means. And then I realized that there's something missing in my life. And if I don't get this straightened out, what's going to happen to me in the future? I mean, when I leave this earth, I mean, am I going to heaven or hell? And how do I know? And then, you know, I asked Jesus to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. And he did. And that's why you're talking to a different person today than you were when you knew me back when or whatever. I give you that. That's how you make disciples. You tell your story. You just share your life. And you share the life of Christ and how he's come into your heart. Man, I've hit on this before, so I won't be redundant, but I remember the bad old days. That's what I call them, when you were given all those pieces of paper, those little tracts, and you go out and you just cold turkey walk up to people. Oh, my Lord. You know, I got to tell you, I hated that. I didn't want to be in any of that stuff. And how many of those, you know, you'd see trails of little tracts down sidewalks. People just pitched them down. But I tell you what, people don't throw down so easily. It's the story of your life. There are some people just ugly and they don't have any feelings and nothing touches them, but that's very, very few. You have to be elected to public office to get to that point, okay? Otherwise, people have feelings. And when you are willing to open your life and be honest and say, you know, I drank too much, I did drugs, I was doing this, I was doing that, whatever, and the reason I'm where I am today is because at some point, you know, in the midst of all my chaos and tragedy, Jesus Christ came in. I asked him into my life and he cleaned up my heart. People respect that. They might not always accept it on the spot, but they definitely will listen. And that's your story. And people honor you when you're honest. Well, enough of that. You get the idea. That's God's will for you. That gives you purpose, by the way. There's nothing like sharing with someone and walking off from that, and you just have that good inner feeling. I did something really good for the Lord. God used me right here today. And the results are up to God. Remember that. You are to swing and hit the ball. You leave the results up to God. You can't be sure where the ball's going, but you can hammer it hard and then let God take care of the rest of it. It's going somewhere. You with me? Don't stand there and watch it over the plate. You know, I used to get so ornery with people, you know, they'd stand there and whoop, whoop. You know, it's like, you know, a monkey can do that. You're up here to swing at the ball. Swing. And every one of us, swing. Put it out there. Enough said. So you know what the great universal will of God is for every one of our lives. By the way, that's why some people are so unhappy as Christians. They're not doing that. And if we're not doing what God has commissioned us, called us, the great will of God to do, then we're unhappy because the Holy Spirit's grieved. You follow me in this? All right. Let's have a little more fun with this. I say fun. This one's not a funny message, but there's some fun in it. Let me give you some things that make it difficult to do God's will before we get into God's will. Let's talk about the things that keep people from doing what we just talked about. There's more. There's more scriptural insight into His and for His will for our lives. But let me give you some things that makes it tough to follow and to stay on track with what God's put us here to do. It's situations that, you know, these are situations that make it difficult to obey and follow God's will and fulfill God's will. And number one, you know what makes it really hard to fulfill the will of God? When other people don't like it. A lot of folks are shut down and they're not doing God's will because somebody in their family, somebody that's a close friend, this or that, or even some or people in their church just don't agree with what they're doing. When people don't like it, it's just not popular. Now, this is what happened, and just jot this down, Acts 5. You can read it yourself. And Peter and the disciples, they were apprehended, arrested. They told them, don't speak this name anymore, the name of Jesus, and we'll let you go. Well, good old Peter looked him right in the eye and said, we must obey God rather than man. That's it. And so you and I have to do the same thing. I am called up here to obey God rather than people. And it's gotten me into trouble. Does everybody out there that I've ever pastored just love me? No, they don't. There are some folks that just, you know, they don't like me. There's some folks that will hear this today and say, I don't like your message today. Talk to God. It's His word, not mine. We must obey God rather than men. They were told no more, and they said, we're going to obey the Lord. We're going to do what God tells us to do. Listen, look at Paul. Saul of Tarsus is who he really was before he was saved. He was out persecuting Christians. And all the Pharisees and authorities, yay, go Saul, go Saul. And God just surrounds him on his horse and knocks him off of it. By the way, have any of you ever been knocked off your little high horse? Okay. Well, you're in good company. So was he. And God knocked him off his high horse. Pride goes before fall, right? So he's hounding Christians, and God, you know, God's not going to let that go on forever. He'll stop it. So he knocked him off his horse. And he blinded him. And then there he was, the light of God's all around him, and Christ appears to him, and he said, why in the world are you kicking me? Why are you kicking me? He said, if you have a King James, it says, why are you kicking me these goads? That meant these wounds, these holes. Why are you kicking me in the wounds that I have had inflicted on me for you, buddy? That's Tony's paraphrasing, okay. You know, but that's in the book of Tony. You can find that. But he said, why are you hitting me, Paul? Why are you kicking me? And then what did he say? Is it you, Lord? Is it you, Lord? You know? And is Jesus saying, yeah, you bet it's me. And you're not where I want you to be, but you're about to be. So he struck him blind. You know why? See, sometimes we're seeing too much of the world, not enough of God. So he allows things to happen. And it may not be physical blindness, but there'll be other blindness in your life. But because, listen, he'll allow things to happen so you'll stop looking at all the junk out here and start looking at him. And the only thing Paul could see was the vision of Christ in his mind. He couldn't be distracted, see, because he was struck literally, physically blind. How many times you think about it, in some way or another, with an emotional disaster, some problem in your life, a physical illness, you've been struck blind. Where you could only look at God, because God is the only one that's going to come through for you and fix what's happened to you. You see it? He'll just knock us right off that little old horse. Oh, man, whether it's, you know, self-sufficiency, you know, I'm just too independent, I'm arrogant, I'm stubborn, whatever it is. And we get knocked off our high horse, and we get struck blind. Then, you know, Ananias and all this happens and comes to him and tells him what God wants him to do. And then he gets his act together, and he begins to total change from the guy out murdering, throwing women and children, men, women and children into dungeons, letting them die there because they were Christians, then to leading these very people to Christ. There was a bunch of people who didn't like it. And who didn't like it the most? The very people that sent him out to get those Christians in the first place. Now listen to this. Where you're going to run into opposition when you're out making disciples and doing what God put you here to do, there's going to be people that won't like it. They're going to say to you, why did you let that person talk to you that way? Why did you let that person treat you with disrespect? Why? I'll tell you why, because they did it to my Lord, and he said they're going to do it to me if I attempt to abide in him and he in me and do what he wants me to do on the face of this earth. And when we become Christians, we accept that liability. It's going to happen. And responsibility. And if he wants to slap somebody back, then he can do it. No, I'm not going to let somebody beat me to death. I'm not going to let somebody beat you to death. That's not what he said to do. But he said, love your enemies and pray for those who spitefully use you and mistreat you. Was he saying, just let them get away with it? No, because he also said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord. Just don't you get enwrapped up in it. Everybody with me? So there's going to be some people not liking it, and it's not going to be popular. And by the way, there'll be some people in your own family or some of your big family get-togethers that when you begin to follow this, you know, the great will of God, the great commission, whatever you want to call it, and you start doing all these things you're equipped to do, there'll be some people saying, do we really have to pray before every meal? Has anybody ever had that happen? You go out in public and it's just your nature and you pray before you eat and somebody's sitting there and they're going, you know, that's really embarrassing. You going to stop? You realize that there's little groups all over the country, little special interest groups just like that, that can say, we don't like this, we don't like that, it's embarrassing. And they stop millions from doing what they're supposed to do. It's amazing how we'll listen to a little negative group or a negative person and shut us down. And you make up your mind sitting here today, and I'm not ever going to let that happen. Somebody tells you, you know, I'm just really embarrassed for you to just bow your head there for those, 15 seconds and thank God for this meal in the restaurant. People are looking. What you need to say is, good. Good. That's what we want. I'm not here to show off, but they see that somebody still respects God. You don't have to be tacky because you've already given the message and apparently you don't. And don't stop what you're doing. Let me give you another reason, another challenge to doing God's will, if you want to call it that. It's when you can't understand. That's really hard. When you don't understand what in the world he's doing. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God and he'll direct your paths. He's speaking to people who don't understand. And so he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. The Lord, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll make your paths straight or direct your paths. Let me talk about just a moment and hit you with some people so you won't feel alone when you don't understand. There's a lot of things God's put in my heart, says in His Word, that I don't totally understand. As long as I've been doing this and studying and preaching and bringing this Word and trying to live it, there's things I still don't get all the time. And, you know, if I was Moses, which I'm not, but if I was, and I'd been in the desert 40 years after killing a man in Egypt, and he did, and then hit his body, that's a real murder. That's a murder. That's a murder. And then Moses is out there doing his thing, shoveling after sheep all these years, and there's a bush, big bush, and it burns, but it doesn't burn up. Doesn't burn down, doesn't fall apart, it just burns. Would you understand that? And you walk up there and the thing speaks to you? If that happened today, seriously, and you came in here and said, this bush was burning and it spoke to me, we would help you get medical assistance and committed somewhere for some work. Did Moses understand that whole experience? No. He finally grasped it was God speaking to him, the voice of God through the burning bush. But did he understand the how it worked and what was happening? No. And you know what? Oftentimes it's not important you understand. It's important that you just do. Just do it. God says, pick up you sense the Holy Spirit putting an impression in your heart. Pick up your cell phone and text this person, or better yet, let them hear your voice. And you're saying, I don't really like that person. I don't understand why you'd have me to call someone. They've been rude to me every time I've been around them. And it's like, what's God saying? You know it in your heart. Call them anyway. Text them anyway. Well, you know they're going to be rude back. That's what Moses said right there. I can't speak well. I stutter. That's what he said. And God already had an answer. He said, your brother's coming up the road there. Aaron, he talks pretty well. He can speak. You tell, he speak. You be quiet. That's basically what God was saying. Quit arguing and go on. Is that what he's saying to some of us this morning? Quit arguing with me and just go. You'll never understand it. If you wait to understand everything that God's telling you in His Word, you're going to be waiting a long time. Peter goes up on a rooftop and has a vision of all these unclean animals he's never been allowed to touch in his life. And then God says, take and eat. And he said, no, Lord, I never touched anything unclean in my whole life. And God is saying, do it. I don't care. It's all clean now. There's nothing unclean for you. Now, I know, there's a lot of... Every time something on TV, you know, there's a new diet. We have... This one is the new one. This one has taken 100 pounds off of this 500-pound person. It's like, I guess so. But you get the idea. There's something in it. So people stick to the dietary laws of Moses. But let me tell you this. Before anybody intimidates you, if you want to follow those, probably good for you. But don't tell somebody something's unclean when God already said to Peter, everything I made out here. So if you want to eat snails dipped in butter, go ahead. If somebody tells you that's unclean, you can say, not really. I think they were in that sheet he lowered down. Every other unclean thing was. And God said, take and eat, really. But it was more than just eating, right? Do you remember what it's all about? Peter didn't want to go to Gentiles. They're unclean like those, that food, all those food products in the sheet. And God said, I'm doing this to say, this food's not unclean, but neither are the Gentiles, and you're going to go to them. They're now no longer forbidden for you, so go minister to them. And he couldn't get it. He didn't understand, but what did he do? They came for him, and he did it. Is everybody hearing this? Just do it. You won't understand it all. David, going back to the Old Testament, when he was anointed king, God said, I'm rejecting Saul, King Saul. David, you're the new king. What happened to him? He had to run for his life. Saul tried to kill him. He was hiding in caves looking like a vagabond. Did he understand? If you think David understood, read the Psalms. There's a lot of Psalms in there where David's appealing to God. I don't get it. That's what he's saying. I don't understand. God's saying, I am making a real man of God out of you. I am taking off the rough. Did he say that somewhere? No. That's just what he was doing. That's why he sends you through some real tough times. He takes away the stuff you don't need and he makes somebody out of you usable. Enough, enough. And then we want to close as we're wrapping this up. Everybody waits for that famous line. In closing. There's sometimes when it's just not rational. Not only do I understand it, it's not rational. You say, what are you talking about? God told Joshua to walk around the city. It'll collapse. And Joshua's a warrior. How do you take a city by siege? And you hammer it and you pound it. And back then they didn't have, cannons, but slings. They'd sling these big stones and you keep smashing it till the wall collapses. And God said, no, I'll tell you what, just walk round and round, singing, sounding trumpets and all that, and about some time around, it's going to go and fall. Did he understand that? No. No. Has God ever told you, put in your heart to do a certain thing, act a certain way, and you're going, say what? And God's saying, just do it and watch me work. If you try to do it yourself, it's going to be bad. You want to see the wall come down? Then just walk around the city. Praising me, blowing the trumpets, and see what happens. Maybe a lot more would happen in our lives for good if we just were praising God more and blowing the trumpet more often. Huh? I wonder. There's Jehoshaphat out there surrounded by the enemy. Instead of God saying, go take them on, God says, oh, just walk out there and sing, I'll fix it. You know what you'd have said? Same thing as I would. It's like, yeah, right. Sure. These are bad dudes out here. And he's saying, and you know what, God, can't you just hear God sometimes? You know, I know I'm speaking for God. But, sometimes, can't you just hear him saying, yeah, well, I'm a battered dude. Give me a shot at it. So they went out there and sang, and he wiped them out. Let me tell you one of the things that didn't make sense at all. And if I'd have been standing there, there's just no way I could have grasped it. I mean this. It just wasn't rational when Jesus said to his disciples, been with these boys for three more years. And then he says to them, guys, I'm going into Jerusalem. I ain't coming back. That's what he's, isn't that what he said? I'm going into Jerusalem and I'm going to be crucified. It's never going to be the same again. You won't have me physically here anymore. They're going to kill me. And they're going to put me on a cross. If you'd been one of those people, one of his disciples standing right there, would you have bought into that? We're so hard on them sometimes. I've been with this guy for this many years, grown to love him. Watched him work miracle after miracle after miracle. It's fantastic. And then you tell me you're going to go down on a cross? That's a hit. That's the worst, most hideous way. You got to be kidding me. We can't let you do this. It didn't make sense. There's no way to understand that. There's no way to grasp it. And sometimes, friends, maybe we're a little casual about that too. I still have trouble grasping crucifixion and him loving me enough to do that. Don't you? But he had to do it because that's how we have salvation today. That's how we have his Holy Spirit. I guess sometimes we just want God to write it all on the wall for us and spell it out. And he really has in his word if we just read it. Lord, show me your will. And the whole time he's saying, what are you talking about? I'm working it out constantly. This is a long closing, but we're there. I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 because it's, I just titled this Obeying and Fulfilling God's Will. How do you do it? Well, let me give you the rest of the story. Remember who said that? Oh, Paul Harvey. Now for the rest of the story. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, this is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that you acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, who admonish you, who hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, and encourage the disheartened and help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Everybody hearing this? Please read it on your own, because I'm moving on for sake of time so we can close. But just so you know what this is, make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and everyone else, and rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Is that enough for you? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There is one heck of God's will. You mean it's all God's will? He says, yeah, this is not self-serving. It's just in here. You know, he says, you take care of those who admonish you. So take care of your pastors, your teachers, those in the Word. Behold them, you know, hold them in the highest regard and love. You say, that's self-serving? That's the Word of God. And he said, that's my will. And he said, then warn those who are idle. That's his will. He said, if there's people just goofing off and causing trouble in a church, stop it. Warn them. Help the weak. Be patient with everybody. I don't have to say that to anybody here. This is the most patient group of people I've ever known. I felt a sense of disagreement with that statement. Test. You know, what does he say? Pray always, make sure nobody pays back wrong for all this stuff. And rejoice always. You got to be kidding me. That's what he's saying. He's saying, rejoice in me. You don't have to rejoice about what's happening to you, but rejoice in me. I'm going to take care of it. Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. This is all God's will for you. Read the whole thing. So there's God's will. There's a whole ton of it spelled out there. You know, whatever ton of it is, there it is. This one you may not have up there, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. It's over in 1 John 3. I don't know if I gave it to it or not, but here it is. And it says, this is God's commandment, which means this is his will. To believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know God lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. So there it all is. You say, I want to know God's will? Is that enough for you? That's all his will. And he says, get after it. And I'll close with this. God's will is that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. That you do what he tells you to do, whether you understand it or not, whether it makes sense or not. You love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now I'm going to close with this. You really want to know God's will? He said, here it is. In Matthew 6:33, you know what that is? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. He said, put me first. Seek what my kingdom is. You know the Great Commission now. You know all these things that's spelled out in Scripture for you to be doing, for you to become. This is the way I want it. This is my great will for your life. And he said, you seek my kingdom and my righteousness first. I'll provide for you everything you need. I'll give you a home. I'll give you food. I'll give you clothes. I'll give you whatever, everything you need. Just focus on me and my kingdom, and God's will be done. That's why when he was asked to teach us the model prayer, Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name be kept holy, honored. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. 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 God bless you for being here.